This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of the Revelation, and when you find the book of the Revelation, I want you to turn to the 7th chapter there, and I'm going to read some verses beginning in verse 9. I'll not read all of the verses, but some selected verses down through Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. So would you stand as your custom is here, I believe, for the reading of God's Word as you follow along in your Bible as I read for us this morning. Verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sits upon the throne, and to all the Lamb, and unto the Lamb. Now then, drop down in verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Thank you. You may be seated. And may God bless the reading of His Word, and now the preaching of His Word as well. Here is the timeline of human existence. We are born, we live, we die, and then we go to a place called heaven, or we go to a place called hell forever and forever. Now, you don't have to go to heaven, and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. It seems to me that any intelligent person, if they understand what a wonderful place heaven is and that you can go there forever and forever, would want to know how to get to heaven and would want to know how to make preparations to go to that place. And so for a little while this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, heaven and how to go there. Now, you don't have to go to heaven and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. Now, when we talk about the subject of heaven, there are some who would rip the hope of heaven from the human heart. The atheist says that heaven is just an illusion of a spiritually intoxicated people. The philosopher says that heaven is a theory for the hopelessly idiotic. The liberal theologian that would say that heaven is a musty, worn-out superstition, no longer necessary for our cultured and technological generation. And yet, for all of those attempts to do away with the truth called heaven, it seems that heaven still lingers in the human mind. In fact, the singers even sing about heaven. Some of you baby boomers, do you remember the Beatles used to sing, "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us and above us, only sky." Or do you remember the song that Blood, Sweat, and Tears began to sing years ago? "I swear there ain't no heaven, and I pray there ain't no hell." And yet for all of the attempts to do away with a place called hell, every poll taken indicates that the overwhelming majority of people believe there is a heaven and there is also a hell. Now the reason for this is because there are some truths that we call innate truths. What I mean by that is we are just born knowing them to be so. And the truth of heaven is an innate truth. All cultures and all religions have some concept of a place called hell. The Buddhists have their concept of hell. They call it nirvana. And they mean that you will just go into a state of nothingness. The Hindus have their concept of hell as well. They call it moksha. And they believe when you die, you will just be merged and become one with God. The Muslims have their concept of hell as well. They call it paradise. And they believe if you give your life in holy jihad, you will go to a place called paradise, there to be awaited by 72 virgins. Well, of course, you and I know that there is only one place where you can find authoritative, truthful information about heaven, and it is in the pages of the book that we hold in our hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 of the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." And then it says in verse 10, "But God has revealed them unto us in his Spirit." And so you see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us about this wonderful place called heaven. In fact, did you know really the Bible tells us that there are three heavens? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talked about an experience he had, and he said that he was caught up into the third heaven, and he called it paradise. Well, if there's a third heaven, that means there's a first heaven and a second heaven. The Bible talks about that first heaven. We call it the atmospheric heaven, where the clouds form and where the birds fly. The Bible tells us also about the second heaven. We call it the stellar heaven, where the moon and the stars appear. And then the Bible tells us about that third heaven, paradise, where God dwells and where God's people will go one of these days. You see, we see the first heaven by day. We see the second heaven by night, and we see the third heaven by faith. My dear old mom went to be with the Lord, went to heaven at the age of 94. Her favorite song was a song that had some words like this: "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar." We're going to talk about that heaven this morning for a little while. Now, you don't have to go to heaven, and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. Now, look at these verses I have read for us this morning, because I want to share with you some things about heaven that we find in these verses. For instance, I want you to notice, first of all, heaven's population. Did you notice in verse 9, he says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude." I'll put that in context in a moment, but I want to point out to you right now that this indicates that heaven is going to be a very populated place. He said, "I saw a great multitude." That means there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. In fact, did you know there are going to be angels in heaven? Look at verse 11 of that chapter. And he said, "And all the angels stood round about the throne." Look back at chapter 5. And at verse 11, and he says, "I beheld," and he said, "I heard the voice of many angels." And he said, "The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million, and thousands of thousands," that is, millions of millions. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, the Bible says that we have come to an innumerable company of angels. There are millions and millions of angels in heaven. God's got all kinds of angels. God's got his jailbreaking angels. God's got his tomb-shaking angels. God's got his rock-rolling angels. God's got his limo-driving angels. God's got all kinds of angels. Have you ever thought maybe that when we get to heaven, we will be met there by special angels who will take us on a tour of our new home? Can you imagine how marvelous it will be when the angels greet us at the gate and they say, "Come, let me give you a tour of your new home"? There will be angels in heaven, but not only that, there will be Old Testament saints in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, "Many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Think about seeing all of those Old Testament saints. Think about seeing all those people of God who were saved by faith looking forward to the cross of Calvary. There will be Old Testament saints in heaven. There will be great tribulation saints in heaven. That's really the context of what he says here when he talks about a great multitude. As you read on down through these verses, you will discover that during the great tribulation time, there will be a multitude of people from all of the nations of the earth who will be saved during that time. And can you see them as they are there in heaven? Coming from all of the nations of the earth, they will all be there in heaven. But not only will the Old Testament saints be there, and not only Great Tribulation saints be there, but saints of the age of grace, saints of the church age will be there. Every born-again believer will one day be in heaven. Every person who has been washed by in the blood of the Lamb will be in heaven. A number of years ago, a fellow said to me, are you one of those narrow-minded Baptists who believe your crowd's the only crowd that's going to go to heaven? I said, I'm more narrow-minded than that. I don't even believe all my crowd's going to go to heaven. Somebody said, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist. Well, that's all right, but are you a washed-in-the-blood Baptist? Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what the denomination is. If you're a blood-washed Baptist, you'll be in heaven. If you're a blood-washed Methodist, you'll be in heaven. If you're a born-again Presbyterian, you'll be in heaven. If you're a saved Pentecostal, you will be in heaven. A great multitude of people will be in heaven. John Newton used to say there were three surprises he expected to have when he got to heaven. Surprise number one, to meet some people there he had not expected to be there. Surprise number two, to miss some people he had expected to be there. And then the greatest wonder of all, to find himself there. I dreamed death came the other night, and heaven's gates swung wide. With kind of grace, an angel ushered me inside. And there, to my astonishment, were folks I'd known on earth. Some I had judged and labeled unfit and of little worth. Indignant words rose to my lips, but never were set free. For every face shone stunned surprise. No one expected me. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it going to be marvelous that you and I will be in this marvelous place called heaven one of these days? You say, well, preacher, how will we get to heaven? Oh, we'll get there one of two ways. We'll either get there by resurrection or we'll get there by rapture. If you die as a believer, the Bible says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And when Jesus comes, you will be resurrected. If you're alive, when Jesus comes, you will be raptured in that very moment. Doesn't really matter which one it is. When I was a young preacher, you know, I used to say, Dr. David, some stupid things when I was a young preacher. Now that I think about it, I say some stupid things now that I'm an older preacher. But I used to say I can't make up my mind when Jesus comes, whether I had rather be in the grave and feel the kick when I come out of the dirt or be changed in the rapture. I must confess to you, the older I have become, the more attractive rapture has become to me. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came and we didn't have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? But it really won't matter. We'll all be in heaven, whether by rapture or by resurrection. And then we ask them questions. There's some questions we have about being in heaven. I don't have all the answers, and I won't be able to deal with all of them. But let's look at just a few of the questions that people have. You know, one of the questions people have about heaven is, what about our body? What kind of body are we going to have? And if you'll study 1 Corinthians 15 very carefully, you will discover that it is going to be a glorified body. That these bodies of ours will be sown in dishonor, they will be raised in glory. These bodies of ours will be sown in corruption, they will be raised in incorruption. Philippians chapter 3 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change these vile bodies, that they might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I don't know all that means. I don't understand all the ramifications of that. But I just simply know that we're going to have new bodies when we get to heaven. You know, the older you get, the more problems you have with this old body. Sometimes you don't walk quite as quickly as you used to walk. And sometimes you don't see quite as good as you used to see. And sometimes you don't hear quite as well as you used to hear. Do you remember that program they used to have on television called Extreme Makeover? You remember that? And they'd take these homely-looking folks and they'd give them an extreme makeover. Well, for some of them, it didn't seem to work too well. But, I mean, they call it Extreme Makeover. I believe we're going to have a supreme makeover when we get to heaven. I believe that one of these days, Dr. David will be walking on the streets of gold, and he will look and he'll rub his eyes and he'll say, "Is that you, Vines?" And I'm going to say, "It certainly is." And he's going to say, "What an improvement. I hardly recognized you." Isn't it great? We will have brand new bodies. The blind will see in heaven. The deaf will hear in heaven. The cripple will be able to walk in heaven. We're going to have brand new bodies. Then here's another question that people ask me sometimes. They say, "Well, what about marriage? Are we going to be married in heaven?" And they ask that question because of what Jesus said in Matthew. Jesus said in the resurrection, they'll neither marry nor be given in marriage. They'll be like the angels in heaven. And people want to know, well, what about marriage? More often it's the ladies than the men that ask it. But, the lady said, "Am I going to be married to Hubert when I get to heaven? If I can't be married to Hubert, I'm not sure I want to go to heaven. I want to be married to Hubert when I get to heaven." Now, that's not 100% with the men, but, I heard about an old boy who was in a rather difficult marriage. It was rather tumultuous kind of a marriage. And finally, it just got so bad that he just died and went on to heaven. And he got to the gates, and we say St. Peter's the gate. We don't really know, but he got knocked at the gates, and St. Peter opened the gate and said, "Before I let you in, you got to be able to spell the password." And he said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "It's love." He said, "Oh, I can do that. L-O-V-E, love." He said, "That's it. Come on in." A little while later, Peter said, "They've called me up to headquarters. Would you tend the gate for me while I'm gone?" He said, "Oh, I'd be glad to." And in just a little while, there was a knock on the gate. And he opened it up, and there was his wife. And he said, "Oh, I wasn't expecting to see you quite this soon." And she said, "Well, I just missed you so bad that I decided to just die and come on up here and be with you." He said, "Well, before I let you in, you got to spell the password." She said, "What is it?" He said, "Czechoslovakia." I don't know how all that's going to work out in heaven. I don't know, but you listen. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed are for us." So the things we don't have all the answers, you just remember the God of all the earth will do what is right. But here's a question that's more serious than that I'm asked from time to time. People ask the question, "Will I know my loved ones in heaven?" And here's some precious mom today, and you had a little girl who died in childbirth. Will I know her in heaven? And some of you sitting here this morning, and you have lost a husband. You have lost a precious wife, and you're wondering, "Will I recognize her? Will I know her in heaven?" And when people ask me the question, "Will I know my loved ones in heaven?" my answer is always an emphatic yes. We're not going to be greater fools in heaven than we are down here. You read the Old Testament, the New Testament, you will observe that they knew people in heaven that they had never seen before. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to say to you that the kiss of reunion at the gate of heaven is just as sure as the kiss of goodbye at the gates of death. Oh, how wonderful it's going to be to have some blessed reunions, to see those moms and dads who are already gone on, to see those little children who have died and they have gone on. Oh, how sweet it will be in that marvelous land, so free from all sorrow and pain, with songs on our lips and harps in our hands to greet one another again. Remember that old song they used to sing, "I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do. I'll meet you in the morning, and I'll sit down by the river, and with rapture, old acquaintance renew." You got anybody you'd like to see again? You got any precious loved ones who've already gone on to heaven? Then you need to make preparations this morning to go to heaven. You see, you don't have to go to heaven, and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. Heaven's population. Now quickly, think with me a little while this morning about heaven's occupation. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? And as you read down these through these verses and pull some other verses from heaven scenes in the book of the Revelation, you get some idea of the kinds of things we're going to do in heaven. For instance, over in Revelation 14, 13, the Bible says we're going to rest in heaven. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, and they shall rest from their labors. And in Hebrews 4, 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There will be a blessed rest when we get to heaven. I remember the old primitive Baptist song we used to sing, there shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest. But it will not be a rest of inactivity. Some people have the concept of heaven that heaven, you know, that you're just going to have an old itchy, scratchy wool robe on and a crooked halo on your head, and you're going to just roll around on a cloud forever and forever and forever. Can you imagine how boring that could be? And then, you know, some people have the idea that heaven is just going to be one long church service. Just going to be in church forever and forever. And have you ever thought how that affects those precious little boys and girls? And some of you kids out here are like, man, am I going to be singing for eternity? And I got to listen to that preacher all through eternity? I heard about a little boy who was in a church where the pastor could get a little long-winded. I know your pastor's not that way, but you know. But the pastor could be a little long-winded, you know, and they'd had rather a long service that morning. And after the service, the little boy was standing looking at a plaque on the wall of the auditorium. And the pastor came by, and he said, what are you doing, son? He said, Pastor, I'm looking at these names. What are these names on this plaque? And the pastor said, oh, son, that's the members of our church who died in the service. And the little boy said, the morning service or the evening service? Hey, kids, I got news for you. Heaven's going to be it's going to be Disney World and video games and everything else all rolled up into one. We're going to have a big time in heaven. There's going to be activity in heaven. In fact, we're going to serve the Lord in heaven. Look at what it says down in verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And the word serve there comes from a Greek word from which we get the English word latruo, or liturgy. And it carries the idea of service as an act of worship. I don't know what we're going to do in heaven. I've thought sometimes I wish the Lord just give me my own planet, and I could just get over there and preach as long as I wanted to preach. No clocks, no watches, no nothing, you know. Just preach as long as I don't know what we're going to do. But God will allow us to serve Him, I have an idea, in new and creative ways. You may have gifts and abilities that you never knew you had, and they will be expanded and utilized when you get to heaven. Think about it, serving the Lord, having the privilege as an act of worship of serving the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. There'll be serving in heaven. There will also be singing in heaven. Oh, yes, there will. Look at the fifth chapter of Revelation and look at verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. And they praised the Lord for His death and for His shed blood. There will be new songs in heaven. I love music. My father was a musician and was my minister of music at a church in the early years. I love music. And our church in Jacksonville, we had glorious heavenly music. And I love to hear these marvelous singers like the Cars and like your choir. And all. Oh, I love the marvelous music down here. But oh, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. You ain't never heard music like you're going to hear when we get to heaven. The greatest music down here on earth will be like the buzzing of a bumblebee in a bottle compared to the music we're going to hear up there. Now, you know, they tell us today you can't sing about the cross. And they tell us you can't sing about the shed blood, that it offends these little snowflakes that wander into our churches. Well, I got news for you. If you don't want to sing about the cross and about the blood of Jesus, you're going to be real uncomfortable when we get to heaven. That will be the theme of the singing in heaven. They'll be singing in heaven. They'll be serving in heaven. There will also be shouting in heaven. Oh, yeah, they're going to be shouting in heaven. You say, all right, prove it to me, okay? Look at the 5th chapter of Revelation again. And look at verse 12. It says, saying with a loud voice. That sounds like shouting to me. And you get on over toward the latter chapters of the book of the Revelation, and it says that their voices were like the sound of mighty waters. They'll be shouting in heaven. I went to Mercer University down in Macon, Georgia, and to study there for the ministry. And one of my classmates, a preacher, also had a little country church outside of Macon. And so he invited me to come on a Wednesday night and preach at his church. And I agreed to do so. And my roommate, Gene, was also a student for the ministry. And Gene was a timid, shy little guy. And so I took Gene out there with me. And you know, it was one of those services, you know what I'm talking about, where heaven just came down. You know, I mean, the Lord just came down upon it, and he just blessed, and people were saved, and God's people got happy. It was a glorious service. And so after the service was over, little old timid Gene and I were standing on the porch of the little church there. And Gene said, I'm so happy I could shout. And then he said, whoop. You know, isn't it a shame that the saints of God sit in our churches today and snore, listening to truths that used to cause the saints of God to walk the aisles and shout the glories of God. I'll tell you, 10 eternities will not be enough to shout the praises of the Lord when we get to heaven. There will be serving, there will be a singing, there will be shouting when we get to heaven. But then not only do we talk about heaven's occupation, but let me just quickly move to the third thing I want to say this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about heaven's captivation. Now, you see, you don't have to go to heaven, and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. Now, what do you think would be the most captivating thing about heaven? What could I say to you this morning that would give you an overwhelming desire to be sure to go to heaven when you die? What is it? What's the most exciting? What's the most thrilling? What's the most exhilarating? What's the most encouraging? What's the most captivating effect about heaven? Somebody says, I'm sure it's to see the gates of pearl and the streets of gold. Have you ever thought about it? Down here, men walk on God and worship gold. Up there, we're going to worship God and walk on gold. Think about it. Seeing gates of pearl and streets of all that's going to be captivating, but that's not the most captivating thing. Someone said, oh, my goodness alive, to see the river of life and to see the tree of life. Oh, how captivating those sights will be. Yes, that'll be captivating. That's not the most captivating thing about heaven. Somebody said, well, to see those Old Testament saints and to see my loved ones and my friends who've gone, that'll be indeed captivating. But it's not the most captivating thing about heaven. In 1988 in San Antonio, I was elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I served for 2 years. In the fall of that year, I received in the mail on official White House stationery an invitation from President Ronald Reagan to attend an official state dinner. Now, I don't know about you, and this, I don't mean this in a political way, but Ronald Reagan was a political hero to me. And man, can you imagine? I mean, there it was, in engraved stationery from the White House. My wife, Janet, and I had been invited to attend an official state dinner at the invitation of the president. And man, I'm telling you, we got so excited, you know. Janet ran out and bought her a brand new dress at Walmart and she said, I don't buy my dresses at Walmart. Well, wherever, you know. I mean, boy, I went and got me an old used, worn-out tux, you know, and rented that, you know. And, man, you talk about looking good. Country come to town. I mean, boy, here we are. We go in the east wing of the White House, and the Marines introduce us. We go through the receiving line, and then we go into the White House dining room, and 120 Marines flooded the room with beautiful violin music. And then we sat down at the table with Ronald Reagan. And I got up close and personal with President Reagan. And I got to ask him questions, and he gave me answers. I looked him in his eye, and he looked me in my eyes. What a captivating night it was. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the most captivating thing I'll ever experience. You did catch it, didn't you? Moving down the chapter, did you see the repetition in Revelation 7? You caught it, didn't you? Look at it. Verse 9, before the Lamb. Look at verse 10, and unto the Lamb. Look at verse 14, white in the blood of the Lamb. Look at verse 17, for the Lamb shall feed them. It's as if John says, I couldn't take my eyes off the Lamb. I couldn't take my eyes off Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the most captivating reality about heaven is that one of these days in heaven we're going to see Jesus. Oh, what a thought! Oh, the light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The music of heaven is the name of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the person of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The pray, the occupation of heaven is the praise of Jesus. The fullness of heaven is the presence of Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but the one sweetest word in all the Bible to me is Jesus. Would you agree? The two sweetest words in the Bible to me are Jesus wept. The three sweetest words in the Bible to me are God is love. The four sweetest words in the Bible to me are Christ died for us. But the five sweetest verses in the Bible to me are in Revelation 22:4, they shall see his face. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. And he'll feed us. We'll never get hungry, never thirst anymore. He'll wipe all tears from our eyes because there'll be no more death. And he'll answer all of our questions. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Jesus? You know, I was thinking about it. I have a book on Job I'll have out on my table. I hope you'll get it. It's called Immortal Combat. It's a book about Job. And you recall that Job had all of these questions for God. You remember that? If you'll study carefully, you'll discover that God didn't answer any of Job's questions. In fact, God just asked Job a whole lot more questions than Job asked him. It's as if God was saying to Job, Job, if you know who, you don't have to know why. But we still have these questions, don't we? You got any questions you want to ask Jesus when you get to heaven? Jesus, why was I born? Jesus, why was I born in the family into which I was born? Jesus, why was I so lonely? Jesus, why was I born handicapped? Jesus, why have I been so depressed? And in John 16:23, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Could I paraphrase that for you? In that day, you'll not be so full of questions. You know why? Jesus will answer all of our questions.
I don't know about you. I don't have to go to heaven. And I don't have to go to hell. But I can't stay here. And it just seems to me that the insanity of insanity, that the madness of madness, that the craziness of all crazy is to know there's a wonderful place called heaven and not make arrangements to go there. I do a lot of flying, going different places preaching, and you know, I just walk up to the gate and pull out my phone, and I got my ticket on that phone, you know, and I just go and I just put it right on the machine there, and I walk right on. You know why I can do that? I've made a reservation to go somewhere. These days, I'm learning all I can about heaven because I've made a reservation to spend eternity there. Now I'm going to close. I tell you the way I preach. I preach till I get hungry and then I wind her up. Now, don't you get hungry before I get hungry. I'm closing out. You know, we laughed a little bit about a password, you know, to get into heaven. Have you ever thought, what if there is, you know, some formula to get you into heaven? What would it be? There you come to the gates of heaven. Yes? I want to come into heaven. Well, what right do you have to come into God's heaven? Oh, I'm wealthy. I'm one of the wealthiest men on the earth. There's nowhere I can't buy my way into. There's nothing I can't have if I desire it. I have enough wealth that I can pay whatever the price is. I'll buy my way into heaven. Sorry, sir. That's not the formula. Yes, I want to come into heaven. What right do you have to come into heaven? Oh, I'm a celebrity. I'm known all over the world. Everybody knows my face. I can't go anywhere in the world. I'm not recognized. I'm sure that heaven will be thrilled to death to have a celebrity such as I. I'm sorry, sir. That's not the formula. Yes. I'd like to come to heaven. What right do you have to come into heaven? To tell you, sir, I really don't have any right to go to heaven. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell forever. But one day, I heard about Jesus. And I heard that he loved me so much that he died on the cross, shed his precious blood, and that if I would repent of my sins, ask you to forgive me of my sins, and invite Jesus into my heart and into my life, I could go to heaven. Truth of the matter is, I don't have any right to go to heaven. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And the gates of heaven open wide. And all heaven rejoices. And they say, welcome to heaven, my friend. Now listen to me. You don't have to go to heaven. And you don't have to go to hell. But you can't stay here. And based on your condition this morning, if you died today, where would you be? Forever and forever. Could we bow our heads in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you could say to me, preacher, if death came and called for me, today, I believe I would go to heaven because there's been a time in my life when I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and when as best I knew how, I invited Jesus to come into my heart and into my life. If that's your testimony this morning, all over this building, would you raise your hand? Would you hold your hand up all over this building this morning? Thank you so much. You may put your hand down. Isn't it wonderful to know 1,000 years from now, we'll be in heaven together? But you know, there were some folks who couldn't raise your hand, and I want to thank you for your honesty. You didn't raise your hand because you're not sure. You see, you know I didn't talk about being a church member. You know I didn't talk about living a good life. I talked about repenting of your sins and believing on Jesus as your Savior, and you're just not really sure. You could be a church member. You could be a good moral person. But you really aren't sure. If you died, you'd be in heaven forever. You're not here by accident, friend. God has arranged the circumstances of your life so that you could hear this message about heaven this morning, and so that you could make preparations in this service to go to heaven forever. You say, well, preacher, I want to do that. I want to do that this morning. What do I need to do? Let me word a simple little prayer for you. And if this prayer is what you would like to make your prayer to the Lord, pray it to the Lord. Just pray this simple prayer to the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me right now. I give my life to you, and I will live for you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Did you pray that simple prayer this morning? I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you prayed that simple prayer, would you just look right up here at me, downstairs the balcony, wherever you are. Look right up here. I may not can see you, but you can see me. Dear friend, you've prayed the greatest prayer you would ever pray. And on the authority of the Bible I hold in my hand, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And 100 years from now, you'll be in heaven. Now in a moment, here's what I would like for us to do. If you prayed that simple prayer, I'd like for you to come forward to one of these staff members here and just say, I prayed that prayer with the preacher, and they will assist you and help you. Maybe you need to come and publicly make it known that you have done that. By your coming, walking down an aisle, you will let it be known that you have received Christ as your Savior. Some of you have been saved previously, and you've never made it public. Why don't you come and do that? Just step into the nearest aisle, come down to the front, just saying, I'm making my public profession this morning. Maybe you'd like to join Parkway Baptist Temple. What a wonderful fellowship this is. What a privilege it would be for you to come and be a member. Just come and say, I want to join the church. Or if it's a family, we want to join the church. There may be some of you this morning and you have a loved one or you have a friend. And you're not really sure that they're going to heaven when they die, and you would like for them to. Would you just come and just get in the altar, as some have already done this morning, and just have a time of prayer for that loved one, that friend, that person you go to school with? I'll ask you to do it in just a moment after this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, move now in a mighty way by your Spirit in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all...
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.